When Rand and Matt carried the first barrels through the common room, Master Alvear was already filling a pair of mugs with his best brown ale, his own make, from one of the casks racked against one wall. Scratch, the inn's yellow cat, crouched atop it, with his eyes closed and his tail wrapped around his feet. Tam stood in front of the big fireplace of River Rock, thumbing a long-stemmed pipe full of tobacco from a polished canister the innkeeper always kept in the plain stone mantel. The fireplace stretched half the length of the big square room, with a lintel as high as a man's shoulder, and the crackling blaze of the hearth vanquished the chill outside. At that time of the busy day before festival, Rand expected to find the common room empty except for Bran and his father and the cat. But four more members of the village council, including Sen, sat in high-backed chairs in front of the fire, mugs in hand and blue-gray pipe smoke wreathing their heads. For once, none of the stones boards were in use, and all of Bran's books stood idle on the shelf opposite the fireplace. The men did not even talk, peering silently into their ale, or tapping pipe stems against their teeth in impatience as they waited for Tam and Bran to join them. Worry was not uncommon for the village council these days, not in Emmons Field, and likely not in Watch Hill or Devon Ride, or even Tarn Ferry, though who knew what Tarn Ferry folk really thought about anything. Only two of the men before the fire, Aral Luhan, the blacksmith, and John Thane, the miller, so much as glanced at the boys as they entered. Master Luhan, though, made it more than a glance. The blacksmith's arms were as big as most men's legs, roped with heavy muscle. And he still wore his long leather apron, as if he had hurried to the meeting straight from the forge. His frown took them both in, then he straightened around in his chair deliberately, turning his attention back to an overstudious tamping of his pipe with a thick thumb. Curious, Rand slowed, then barely bit back a yelp as Matt kicked his ankle. His friend nodded insistently toward the doorway at the back of the common room, and hurried on without waiting. Limping slightly, Rand followed less quickly.
"What was that about?" he demanded as soon as he was in the hall that led to the kitchen. "You almost broke my—"
"It's old Luhan," Matt said, peering past Rand's shoulder into the common room. "I think he suspects I was the one who—"
He cut off abruptly as Mistress Alvear bustled out of the kitchen, the aroma of fresh-baked bread wafting ahead of her. The tray in her hands carried some of the crusty loaves for which she was famous around Emmons Field, as well as plates of pickles and cheese. The food reminded Rand abruptly that he had eaten only an end of bread before leaving the farm that morning. His stomach gave an embarrassing rumble. A slender woman, with a thick braid of graying hair pulled over one shoulder, Mistress Alvear smiled in a motherly fashion that took in both of them.
"There is more of this in the kitchen if you two are hungry, and I never knew boys your age who weren't.
Or any other age, for that matter.
If you prefer, I'm baking honey cakes this morning."
She was one of the few married women in the area who never tried to play matchmaker with Tam. Toward Rand, her motherliness extended to warm smiles and a quick snack whenever he came by the inn, but she did as much for every young man in the area. If she occasionally looked at him as if she wanted to do more, at least she took it no further than looks, for which he was deeply grateful. Without waiting for a reply, she swept on into the common room. Immediately, there was the sound of chairs scraping on the floor as the men got to their feet, and exclaimings over the smell of the bread. She was easily the best cook in Emmons Field, and not a man for miles around but eagerly leaped at a chance to put his feet under her table.
"Honey cakes," Matt said, smacking his lips.
"After," Rand told him firmly, "or we'll never get done." A lamp hung over the cellar stairs just beside the kitchen door, and another made a bright pool in the stone-walled room beneath the inn, banishing all but a little dimness in the furthest corners. Wooden racks along the walls and across the floor held casks of brandy and cider, and larger barrels of ale and wine, some with taps driven in. Many of the wine barrels were marked with chalk in Branalvir's hand, giving the year they had been bought, what peddler had brought them, and in which city they had been made. But all of the ale and brandy was the make of Two Rivers farmers or of Bran himself. Peddlers and even merchants sometimes brought brandy or ale from outside, but it was never as good and cost the earth besides, and nobody ever drank it more than once.
"Now," Rand said, as they set their casks in the racks, "what did you do that you have to avoid Master Luhan?"
Matt shrugged.
"Nothing, really.
I told Adan Alkar and some of his snot-nosed friends, Ewan Fingar and Dag Coplin, that some farmers had seen ghost hounds breathing fire and running through the woods. They ate it up like clotted cream.
And Master Luhan is mad at you for that? Rand said doubtfully.
Not exactly.
Matt paused, then shook his head.
You see, I covered two of his dogs with flour, so they were all white. Then I let them loose near Dag's house. How was I to know they'd run straight home? It really isn't my fault. If Mistress Luhan hadn't left the door open, they couldn't have gotten inside. It isn't like I intended to get flour all over her house.
He gave a bark of laughter.
I hear she chased old Luhan and the dogs, all three, out of the house with a broom.
Rand winced and laughed at the same time.
If I were you, I'd worry more about Alsbet Luhan than about the blacksmith. She's almost as strong and her temper is a lot worse. No matter, though. If you walk fast, maybe he won't notice you.
Matt's expression said he did not think Rand was funny.